To every creature. He didn't say, get on your knees and pray that I would reach the world. He didn't say, get on your knees and pray and ask me to reach the world. No, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So God is saying to each one of us in our lives, whatever part of life you're in, he's telling you to do something. Amen. Do something. Go for it. You know, there's never a season in your life where you can, where you're not usable. We have a dear friend in England who's fighting a very, very difficult physical battle in her life, and she's been battling it for years, and we have prayed for her, and she's praying, she's standing. But you know, even her, we've encouraged her. She can bless somebody. She can help somebody else. You know, it's in helping others that you yourself are helped. Isn't that true? It's when we help others is when we are blessed. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So it's in giving that we receive. And so I was just encouraging her. I said, you know, even in your difficult situation, let's find somebody you can bless. Find somebody you can help. How many of you know, if you can speak, you can bless? Amen? Your mouth, your words have the power of life and death in them. I'm not saying anything new to you. I know your pastor preaches this all the time, and Robert and everybody here that teaches. But the power of life and death are in the tongue. You can bring forth life and blessing to people with your mouth. Amen? Come on, we shouldn't be giving curses out with our mouth, that's for sure. We shouldn't be cursing things in our lives. You know, how many know things don't always go right, go perfectly in our lives, right? But we have now the ability to speak into these things, to speak into your situations in your life. God is looking at you like he did with Adam and said, what are you going to call this? What are you going to call this? Amen. You say, well, Charlie, my checkbook is on empty and I owe rent in 5 days. So what are you going to call that? Come on now. You know what I would call it? I'd call myself blessed. I'd call myself that I'm blessed going in and going out. I would call that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. That's what I would call that. Amen. Amen. Come on now. I want to hear a shout out there. That's true, right? What are we going to call the situations in our life when sickness comes? What are we going to call it? We're going to call healed in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So we have that privilege and that ability and that responsibility, really, to call things, as Scripture says, call things which be not as though they are. Somebody said, well, Charlie, you're not really blessed. You know, you go to Andrew Womack in the middle of the day, anytime, morning, noon, or night, you say, hi, Andrew, how you doing? He goes, I'm blessed. Y'all know Andrew? Some of you do. Andrew Womack. I'm blessed. And I'm like, and people will shake him and say, no, come on, Andrew, how are you really doing? He goes, I'm blessed. He won't budge from it no matter what. Now, I budge a little bit, you know, if someone says, how are you really doing, Charlie? I said, well, you know, I got things in my life that are not the way I want them to do, but I'm speaking blessing over them. I'm speaking the truth of God's word over them. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not going to allow the enemy to discourage me. I'm going to speak good things. I'm going to believe good things. I'm going to speak to the mountain, command it to be removed. I'm going to keep pressing on in God, forgetting the things that are behind me, pressing on to the things that are before me. All right? So, you know, these are the things. But Andrew, he just always says he's blessed. Why does he say that? Because the word of God says he's blessed with all things. Amen. He's blessed. That's what the word of God says. It says we are blessed. And so that's a good, solid thing. The confessions, I'm thinking about that as I watched that. It's just a good, solid thing to keep the word of God on your lips. Keep the word of God in your heart. You know, George Myers used to always say, said a man, where the mind goes, the man will follow. Where your mind goes, your man will follow. And it's the same thing with your mouth. Where the man will follow where his mouth goes. Where your mouth goes is where your life is going. Hello. I know that sounds a little bit maybe too simple, but that's what the Bible says. It says your tongue is a rudder. It's a rudder. It'll turn a ship this way, turn a ship. Your life will turn this way. A horse, a big old strong horse, you just bridle that thing this way, it goes this way. You bridle it that way. your mouth, your tongue is a rudder. People, this is so important. We don't realize how important our tongues are, our mouths are, what our words are, what we say in our life. It's so powerful. I just love parents that teach their children how to just positive. They speak positive words over them. I love that. Even when they're disobedient, they can speak a good word. I don't know how they do that. I got to figure that one out. I'm doing it with my grandchildren. I figured it out now. But like, you know, you just speaking positive words over your children. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. Speaking positive words over your wife. Woo. Or your husband. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. So we need to not cut people down or speak down to people ever. We're just bless them and encourage them. Now, there's time for discipline. There's time for sitting down and discussing situations with your kids, with your husband. You know, I know your wives need to sit us down every now and then and get, straighten us out. I get it. But ultimately, you need to speak life and peace. I say my wife is blessed. Amen. I say she's a blessing, and she's fruitful, and she's a blessing, and she's beautiful, and she's just full of life, and she has so much the Word of God in her. I speak life over her all the time. She doesn't always hear me say it because I say it in prayer a lot. But, I mean, I say it to you in real life, too. I tell her she's a blessing all the time. Amen. So don't forget. These are just little nuggets, but don't forget the power of your words. When you leave here, you're going to be tempted. Man, my car, I cleaned it yesterday. Look at all this pollen on here. Man, I tell you what, every time I clean my car, the pollen falls on it. No. Come on. Don't be prophesying that into your life. You know, it's bad enough without you speaking it, all right? Let's just say in Jesus' name, my car, when it's clean, it's going to stay clean. I was telling Pastor Trey this morning, he invited me. He said, Charlie, y'all can pull up right up front here and just park right in front if you want. We'd like to give that to guest speakers. I said, man, my car is so filthy. I don't want to display it right there. I said, it was already filthy from the drive here. And then I tried to find a car wash early this morning, couldn't find one. And so then the pollen just poof. I said, I'm not going to put that thing right there. But I said, look at that guest speaker. He don't know how to clean his car. Yeah. But anyway, we need to speak life. Amen. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And God wants to use your mouth. He wants to use you to bless people. He wants to use you to help people. You know, I love people that do that. I get around people sometimes and it said, oh, Charlie, man, you so sure looking good. God bless you. Wow. Wow, tell me all the good things that are going on in your life. You just look so well. And I'm like, wow, I wasn't ready for that. I was just like, you know, and they just, and I'd say, wait a minute, slow down here. I want to say something good about you, you know. Give me a chance to speak life to you because when you speak life, it comes back to you. And so, but people, you know, positive people speak love and speak life to others. I want to encourage you this morning. Speak love words. Let the fruit of your lips give thanks to the Lord, but you know, speak words of life to people. Amen? Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's not fruitful, such as will bring edification to someone else. Amen. Come on. Now, again, I know there's times for discipline. I know there's time we have to sit down and we have to counsel and we have to talk people through things and we have to help people, but you know, we need to come in with constructive criticism and constructive help with their lives and marriages and things like that, and that's all very important. But at the same time, as a general word, remember how powerful your words are. And I'll tell you what, if you want to see your life change, you got to change this. Amen. You say, Charlie, I hope 2022 is going to be better. I hope it's going to be better. I hope. And nothing going to change in your life until you start changing your thoughts and your mind. Amen. You say, God, please, God, I'm begging you. No. Not until God says, well, I'm waiting for you to speak my words. My words are life to those who find them. They're health to all their flesh. So just like the parable in Mark, you know, about the planting of the seed of the word, and he keeps planting the seed of the word. We keep planting the seed of the word in our hearts, and then we keep speaking it out, and that bears forth fruit. So in saying that, let me just go back for real quickly into the parables of that parable, because I wanted to just touch on for just a moment the cares of this life, because we were singing this song, I Cast All My Cares on You. And I think that was just a very, very powerful song. Jill wrote that song. And on you I cast my cares, and like Pastor Trey brought out, and I leave them there. When Jill wrote that line, I thought, well, I'm not sure if that's a good line or not. I mean, I love the thought of it, but I said, no, I can't get it better. That's what it needs to be. So on you I cast my cares, and I leave them there. I love that. How many know we have to cast our cares on the Lord? We need to not carry the weight of cares. And my wife is always encouraging me in that. She's always said, Charlie, don't, you know, because I get all a little worked up, you know, getting ready for a weekend like this. I'm studying, I'm working on music, I'm getting all kinds of things ready. And she'll just say, come on, let's go take a bike ride, or let's take a walk. You know, let's just chill out a little bit. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I need to, you know, I need to cast my care on the Lord. I'm trusting in him, but at the same time, you know, I get a little worked up. So she helps me with that. But let's look at 1 Peter 5, and we're going to just amplify that song and that word about casting your cares for just a few minutes. And that is in 5, let's go ahead and start in the end of verse 5. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Excuse me. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Now that is just a powerful, powerful little word to encourage us. But I don't want to stop there. I want to take one more step here. Look at verse 8. And be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now notice he's talking about casting your cares on the Lord, and at the same time he goes in to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Guess what? Cares are from the devil. Hello. That's right. Cares are from the devil. Jesus took our cares. He took our place, and we don't have to care. He says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And we're to leave our cares at the foot of the cross. How many know Jesus can handle it, right? We're actually not created to handle the cares of this life. And in fact, we'll get back to Mark in just a minute. But it says in there, the cares of this life will choke the word of God. You see, you can be trying to move on in your life with the word of God, speaking the word of God, and doing what you know is right to do, but you have all these cares and you have all this stress on the inside of you. And that can choke the word from prospering in your life. It can choke the truth of God's word in your life. So we must cast our cares on the Lord. I was thinking about this little funny story, actually. I was cleaning out my closet in my garage recently, and I put a whole bundle of stuff, you know, in a big pile. This is all going to a charity that we like to give to. And so all of this stuff, I have a big old pile, you know. I say, well, as soon as we get some time, we're going to take that down to that charity. And so about a week later, I'm in my closet, and I'm looking for something, and I can't find it. I'm like, where is it? I went, ooh. Jill wasn't looking. And I went into the garage, and I grabbed it out of my giveaway pile. I thought, oh, yeah, that's where it is, you know. And then I did it again. You know, and then I realized I got to get that thing out of here, you know, because I really don't need what's in that pile. But, you know, you go back to it. But that's the way the Lord is. It's like you cast your cares on him, but just leave it there. Hello. Leave it there and give it away. Give it where it came from. It came from the enemy. So take your cares and cast them back cast them on the Lord and then just give them back to the enemy and just say, I'm done with you. So we weren't created to live with care. Even the medical field tells you that stress is one of the things that'll destroy your life. It'll destroy the cells in your body. It stops your immune system from bringing healing into your life. So how many, stress is an enemy, guys. Stress is an enemy, and we're not to be stressed. We're to live in the peace of God. We're to live with our cares cast on the Lord. And God says that because he loves us and because he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be healthy in our lives. And like I say, sometimes we're believing the word of God, we're confessing the word of God, but it's true what I said earlier about the power of your words and the power of your thoughts. But at the same time, if you have cares, then it'll block the fruitfulness of your future, block the fruitfulness of the word of God in your life. So we must cast our cares on the Lord. I saw that in Mark and I thought, my goodness, it is so important that we cast our cares on the Lord. So 1 Peter 5:8, as I said, be sober, be vigilant. And then over in Philippians, y'all know this one, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. I love the New Living. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I catch myself just worrying about something and forgetting to pray about it and forgetting to cast my care on the Lord. Does that ever happen to anybody else? I just forget sometimes. I'm just like, what am I doing here? I need to pray and release this thing. I need to speak blessing over this situation. Not worry about it. Amen? You know, I know Andrew Womack, he's, you know, his ministry has really exploded in the last 10 years. And it's just, for Jill and I to know him back in 1981, we first sang with Andrew. And to watch his ministry explode like it has to this day is just, it's phenomenal. But how many know with growth comes a lot of responsibility and comes a lot of financial responsibility? He's got over 600 employees now. I mean, he's got a payroll. I mean, my gosh, you know, Jill and I have a small payroll. We have a couple people, two or three people helping us. And, you know, that payroll comes, you know, you got to believe God for that money to be there. And you know, I can't imagine what they're dealing. Jamie talks to us a little bit about it sometimes, but I remember a story. He has CEOs. I'm sorry, not CEOs. What am I trying to say? The CFO, CFO, CEO, CEO. What did I say? Did I say CEO? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. I said it right. So he's hired. You know, he had Paul Milligan for a while. Now he's got. Who's he have? Billy Eppehart right now, CEO. But I remember Paul, because I was real close with Paul Milligan, and I remember him telling the story. He said he'd go to Andrew. He said, Andrew, we got 2 days before we owe another $2 million for the construction project. They were building a $40 million building, and they had construction crews and tractors and all this stuff going like they're like buzzing like crazy. And he says, we owe $2 million in 2 days. And we don't have it. And Andrew says, well, we got 2 days, don't we? Praise the Lord. Amen. We got 2 days. He said, what are you worried about? And sure enough, the money came in. They've never had to stop the construction. And they've got both the buildings paid off. And now a garage that they built, which was, I think, a $20 million or something project, that is paid off now totally. So, he just casts his care on the Lord. He says, I've got some time here. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I refuse to worry. And I love that because the worrying, let's look at that scripture in Mark just so you can see it and see how important it is that we don't let worry. In Mark 4, yep. Let's go on down. We'll start in 13. We'll just read it on down. When we get to it, we'll amplify it. And he said, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand other parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately to take away what?
The word. Satan comes after it. Yeah. Comes after the word sown in your heart, because he knows the word will produce fruit in your life and it'll be a blessing. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and then they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a short time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And listen, Jill and I understand persecution and tribulation, because we've been through some really, really tough times in our life. And, you know, one thing that I realized when we went through a terrible tragedy in our life, we realized that the enemy was coming to take us out as well. And, you know, Jesus looked over to Peter and he says, Peter, Peter, he says, Satan has come to sift you as wheat, to destroy your life. He said, but I have prayed that your faith fail not. And he says, and when you get through this, strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. I love that part. That jumped out of the page the other day to me. He said, when you get through this, strengthen your brethren. And you guys know what Peter went through. He denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. And I mean, he went out bitterly crying, you know, just broken over it, because he denied the one he loved so much. But I love that over there in John, at the end of John, where Jesus is fishing and he brings his disciples, and Peter comes and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I think I've mentioned this here before, that part, but I just love it. Three times he denied Jesus. Three times Jesus said, do you love me? In other words, Jesus said, I don't care whether you deny me or not. What I want to know is, where are you at today? And that's just a good word. That's another whole teaching, but that's a good word for us. Listen, God is not so concerned. He said, Charlie, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know. Hey, listen, I'll let the law handle some of the things that are really, really bad. But as far as Jesus is concerned, he says, do you love me? Amen. That's all. You may be feeling some guilt right now on something that's happened in your life, something that you've done. Listen, we've all done things in our past that we're ashamed of and we wish we wouldn't have done. But listen, Jesus washes away our sins as far as the east is from the west. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Come on. And if he doesn't remember them, he doesn't want us to remember them. And it's only the devil that will point to your past and begin to point his finger at your past and say, look what you did. You're no good. You can't do this. You're not worthy. You're so bad. Don't let him do that. Point to the blood of Jesus and just thank God for his blood and his cleansing from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. That's a good word. Praise the Lord. That was free. All right, so Satan comes immediately to steal the word. And then let's go on down here. It says in verse 17, after when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, they are offended. I almost taught this morning on Proverbs 4:20, where it says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, guarding your heart is so powerful and so important, because in this world, you have tribulation. You're going to be offended in this world. I mean, offenses will come. Jesus said that. But woe to them who bring the offenses. So offenses are going to be there, people. We have to learn to be skillful in how to forgive and how to not take offense. Amen. And that's something you have to learn. You don't just wake up in the morning and realize and say, I'm just going to forgive everybody. I'm not going to be offended. No, offenses come and they hurt. You know, I've been offended many times by different people. And yet I have to figure out, what am I going to do with this offense? I'm going to cast that on the Lord. I am going to forgive. I love how Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I said that to a friend once. I said, you know, you just need to be like Jesus. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, Charlie, they knew exactly what they were doing. I said, okay. Well, you got to forgive them anyway. Amen. You got to forgive them. Hallelujah. Why do we forgive? We don't forgive for them. We forgive for us. Amen. Because we can't bear the burden of unforgiveness in our life. Unforgiveness will kill us. Unforgiveness, what do they say? It's like drinking poison and hoping they'll die, something like that, something similar to that. So, unforgiveness, it's a poison. You do not want that. You need to just give it to Jesus, man. Quickly, and it's not that easy. Sometimes you got to lay before the Lord for a while. to get all that stuff out of you. Amen? Just lay before him and just cry it out and pray it out and just say, God, forgive me, help me. I don't want to hold offense, God. I don't want to do this. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I know I don't have this stuff in me. I know I don't need to carry this, and I won't carry it. So let's go on. Here we go into verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So there it is right there. That was my point there. The cares of this world will choke the word of God and cause it to be unfruitful. Man, this is so important. Because, you know, we're believing God. We're rebuking the enemy. We're binding Satan. We're binding sickness, and we're rebuking things. But, you know, so I got some precious friends that, you know, we've prayed for, and we're standing with them, and we'll stand with them all the way. But some of them, it's just not manifesting. And I don't know why, but, you know, I'm just saying in the Word of God here, it says sometimes the cares of the world will hinder the fruitfulness of the Word of God in our lives. So that's why it's nothing to play with. You can't play with unforgiveness, and you can't play with cares. You can't play with stress. You've got to cast it away out of you so that your heart can be pure to germinate the Word of God in your life and see the fruitfulness of God's Word come through you. Amen? All right, well, I'm going to close with that, but I just want to say a couple more things on verse 19. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. Brothers and sisters, we need to be single-minded. We need to pursue Jesus. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. There's no one like Jesus, and there's no one who can help us like Jesus. And we have to be single-minded on seeking him. If you may have a need, don't seek the need. Seek the one who can meet every need. Come on now. Isn't that right? You need healing? Seek Jesus and let him speak his word to you and let him show you the pathway to healing. If all you do is just seek healing, well, you know, you're going to miss out because Jesus is the healer. Amen? He's the great physician. So I tell you, I've read and seen so many amazing testimonies of people getting miraculously healed. And it blows me away. And when I read their testimonies, most of them are saying, I just soaked in the presence of God. I got so caught up in Jesus. And then his word came alive on the inside of me. And I went, oh my gosh, I am healed by his stripes. But they didn't get there by just, you know, complaining about it and begging and hoping that they'd get healed. They got it by soaking in the word of God and soaking in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, it lit up on the inside of them. Wow, my needs are met. God does supply all of my needs. Wow, I wasn't seeking the money. I wasn't seeking this, but all of a sudden, man. And that happened to Jill and I several years ago where we were dealing with some debt, and I just prayed about it, and I sought the Lord, and I just got in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, I woke up on the inside. I said, in Jesus' name, I am out of debt. I am free from all debt. And I went, wow, it's done. And I looked at the checkbook and I looked at the credit card and I said, it ain't done. But I said, no, I knew it was done in here. And you know, within 9 or 10 months, we were totally out of debt. It was amazing. I just knew it. Every day I would just confess the word and praise the Lord for it and thank him for it. And it wasn't a formula. It was real. It happened on the inside of me. I just knew that that was done. It was taken care of. So God bless you guys. I pray this is a good word. I know it was scattered. It kind of went in several different directions. I preached to you about 3 or 4 different sermons at the same time, but I want to be respectful to your time and just say that we love you and we appreciate you. We're honored to be back. This is our fourth time, is it now? Fifth time. This is our fifth time back at this church, and to be with Trey and Shannon, what a blessing they are, and Levi. I didn't recognize him. He was this high instead of this high. I said, what's going on there? Something's wrong. Where are you, Levi? Is he running around in the children's church or something? But anyway, so God bless you. Great to see so many of you. Please come back tonight. We're looking forward to real time. You know, the old saying says it takes two to tango. You know, I'm not real great on those phrases, but it's It's not just what we're bringing tonight. We're going to do our best to bring our intimate worship. We're going to do our best to do what we can to worship the Lord with all of our hearts and to bring songs that we believe will help you to enter into his presence. But listen, what you bring tonight is so powerful. It's so powerful. Jill and I will go from church to church or from conference to conference, and sometimes we'll sing the exact same songs with the exact same passion, with the exact same heart, the exact same anointing that God gave us before we walked out there. And in some places, it explodes. And people go, oh, wow, Charlie, the worship was so good. I go, wow, yeah, you really brought it. You know, it's like the people come ready and they just dive in. And man, the presence of God, he loves unity. He loves when people come together like that. So we encourage you to come tonight. We're looking forward to a great time. I'm hungry for more of the anointing and the presence of God to see what God will do tonight. In fact, I might even want to just grab another song out of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Right here. All right. So God bless you guys. Love you. God bless.
Well, let's stand on our feet. We're going to close out today with one of our blessings. And you know, we've got many different ones. And I was kind of torn between two. Like you had a couple of three messages. I was torn between a couple of them. Let's do who he is, Debbie. Let's put that up because I think this one is so appropriate for what we're doing here this weekend is that we are telling God who he is and we're worshiping God. And this is one that we put together that I believe makes the praises we sing the confession of our lips as well. So let's say it like High Point Church likes to say it here with all of our heart. We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we boldly confess who He is in our lives. God is good and He does good to me all the time. He has been merciful to my unrighteousness and my sins and lawless deeds. He remembers no more. His goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. God is faithful. He is with me. He is for me, and He lives within me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He cannot lie. All of His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Even when I am faithless, He remains faithful to me. God is love. He loved me when I was a sinner, so how much more does He love me now that I am His child? I am my beloved's, and His desire is towards me. I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. God is amazing in us. There is nothing too difficult for Him, and all things are possible to me because I am a believer. The greater one lives on the inside of me. Lord, you are holy, you are worthy, and you are mighty. You are great and greatly to be praised. Shout it out. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys today. Hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock.